everybody, to another episode of the Fearless Mums Club podcast. I'm Christine Drummond, your host, and we have a delightful guest for you today. She's one of my good friends. Her name is Vicky Lord. She is a mum of three children, three boys. I need to add that in there because boys are totally different to girls, to raising girls. And she's also an empowerment coach. And I have to tell you, like, I've known Vicky for probably about 5 years now, and I have absolutely loved watching this woman go from strength to strength and really step into her feminine power and, you know, really create an incredible life, not only for her, but for her family as well. So Vicky, welcome to our show. We are so excited to have you on here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up and, you know, a bit about your family and where you're living at the moment.
Yeah, thank you so much, Christine. I'm so excited to be on here too. So my life started out in Victoria. I lived in Melbourne, Victoria, in the bush. And my family was the most loving family known to man. So I had an incredible dad, and we never knew what racism was or violence or anything like that. We just went through life in this like really beautiful family. And we did, however, live on the lower class economically. So we spent a lot of time moving around in different places and living in caravans and stuff like that. So that was my early childhood days. And then we did actually settle in my teenage years in Sydney, which is in Strathfield. And I had a best friend, and we used to wag school a lot and have so much fun. It was incredible them days. And then I always knew that I would have children. I thought I'd probably have like 8, 9 or 10 of them because I loved kids. And then when I met my husband in 2000, we got married like pretty soon in 2001. I met in 2001, sorry. We married in 2001 as well. And then our first baby was on the way in 2001 as well. So that was the year that it all happened. And so that's the year that I became a mum. I was pregnant in 2001. So 2002 was when I actually held my baby in my arms. And that is when this whole life changed for me. And I realized that when they gave me this baby, I was possessed with him. Like, I was really possessive. I was like, you got to go through me if you're going to hold the baby. Like, that was a really weird first time mum. And then like the first one you make all the mistakes on, and then the second one you kind of have learned some of the mistakes, you don't do as much, and then the third one you don't do any of the mistakes you did on the first two. That's how I ended up going to have three boys.
Awesome. And you guys are living up on the beautiful Sunshine Coast at the moment, haven't you? You've just moved to an incredible property there.
Yeah. So we've gone from the Gold Coast to the Sunshine Coast. So it's a lot more laid back now. We've got a beautiful 10 acres for the kids to run around and a pool. So, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I love that, honey. All right, let's get into the nitty gritty. Question two, what's the worst thing you've ever done as a mum? Can you remember?
Worst thing I have ever done as a mum, when it comes, so we went decided to go on this health kick about probably 5 years ago, and nutrition got introduced to us. So I was like, that's it, our family's going healthy. I sat all the kids down, and unbeknown to them, I just placed this kale salad in front of them that was just plastered with maple syrup, and I'm like, is he going to eat it? And then they sat there horrified, and then my littlest one, he just took off like lightning. He just ran down the hallway and didn't come back. Everyone was sitting there in torture just going like, what is this? Because they've gone from having like burgers and chips, and I'm like, now he's alkalizing now, and they never let me live that one down.
What a way to shift into a healthy life. You just go in with the most pungent green you could find, kale, and you're going to eat it.
It was mopped in maple syrup, so it tasted good. I thought it tasted amazing, and that was like in torture land.
Oh, that's hilarious. I'd love for you just to share a little, because I know a little bit about your health journey. I'd love you to share with some of the mums What did you used to eat for dinner, Vicky, while your family were eating other things?
Yeah, so I used to have my own secret stash. So I did like Sara Lee chocolate cake. And so I'd sit there and I'd spoon feed my kids like this mashed veggies and soup. And I would, they had to eat it. And then once they were done, I would go and I'd sneak around the corner and I'd eat this chocolate cake. And I'd be like, they'd be like, can we have some? I'm like, no, you're eating your veggies. Like, and it was terrible. I had a really bad habit because I got a job when I was 14, and that's when I developed like buying like candy bars and stuff. And so then I had to go and break that in my adulthood, that pattern that I had. And yeah, I tried to do the right thing by the kids, but they definitely saw me eating the wrong things a lot.
I love that. And I think it's so going to be so relatable to so many mums out there, because quite often we do feel like we have to hide, you know, the stuff that we eat. But I also love that you knew that your family's health wasn't on the right path and you decided to do something about it. And to watch your family really flourish over the last 5 years has been incredible. Like, your skin alone is absolutely glowing. You look younger and younger every single day, and your boys are just thriving in life. And I love that. And also, you know, your husband, Joel, as well, who I get to work with on a daily basis too, and to watch his health transform as well. It's just, it's so refreshing and inspiring to see other mums out there really take health seriously and not sitting around waiting to be saved. I think that's the key message, is that if something in your household needs to shift, it's usually the mum that has to create that shift first. And we set the tone. And I love that you have just totally owned that, and you're telling them what they need to eat and what they need to do, which is awesome. And this is really how we shape the generations to follow and really help, you know, the future generations flourish, is by teaching them to take our health more seriously. And that they'll thank us for us in the end, you know, for forcing the kale down their throat, I'm sure. All right, number three, what do you love most about being a mum?
I love the innocence of children. I love that I just get to watch them, and they're completely innocent. So if they want to be loving, they will be so loving to their brothers. And if they're not, if they don't want to be, they won't be. There's no sugarcoating it, and there's nothing I can do about that. I do my best to make them play the best, but if they don't want to, they're not going to. So I do love the way that they're not trying to please people at this young age. So, but yeah, when it's love time and I see them actually playing together really nice, I love that.
I love that. You bring up a really important point too, honey, is that, you know, we want them to be their own person, and we don't want to snap the creativity out of them either. So, you know, we're sending the wrong message if we expect our kids to be happy all the time and to get along with everybody all the time. And I think that's really important that you kind of sit back and know, well, you know what, I can't change it. They're allowed to be upset if they're upset, you know. Then yeah, and someone said this, I think it might have been Bron last week, said it's okay that you don't have to like each other all the time, as long as you let your kids know that you do love them all the time. You know, we don't have to like them or what they're doing. So I think that's a really good point. And it takes the pressure off us then to try and make sure that the household's perfect all the time and go, you know what? This is just life. You're not going to get along with your brothers all the time, and it's okay. You're allowed to feel frustrated. You're allowed to, you know, love them at the same time, but you definitely don't have to get along. And I think that's about finding your identity and what you stand for in life. And I think this is a really good lesson for them. So I think that's awesome, honey. What's the greatest lesson or piece of advice that someone's helped you with in your role as a mum?
Yeah. So as my role as a mum, there was a lady, her name was Julie once, and sometimes when you're a mum, you do things that you don't always, you think you're doing the right thing, and then you realise that you may not have done the right thing. So, for example, I gave my kid a smack with a wooden spoon once and it left a red welt. And I was like, oh my gosh, I will never do that again. Because you hear like some people say, like, you've got to discipline your children. And I didn't like doing that. So I learned, like, I felt really, really guilty that I'd actually hurt my little son. And so this lady said to me, she said, Vicky, we all mess our kids up. We all do. Like, there's no way out of it. We're going to mess them up. We just try not to mess them up too much. So that was the greatest advice for me. I was just like, you know, like, I messed up and I learned that the wooden spoon is not my form of discipline at all. And I may have messed up in that one little area and it's not going to ruin his life. He's not ruined. We all do these crazy things as a parent. We're finding our way. And when you're a young 22-year-old, you've got no idea. You've just got this kid that you've got to raise and it's like you're finding your way yourself. Yeah.
I love that. And it's such good advice because at the end of the day, we don't own our kids. Like we're just there to guide them and mentor them through life. And then they're going to leave our house and make their own decisions. And, you know, someone gave me the same advice that you can't screw up your kids. You know, what they're not getting from you, they'll get from someone else. They're really resourceful. So I think forgiveness is a key word in here. As soon as you said that, Vicky, I'm like, yeah, that's where you got to go and forgive yourself and go, you know what? That probably wasn't the right thing to do in the moment, but I've learned from that. And now you're a better mum because of that lesson. So I absolutely love that. And we're the same. I think, you know, we've only had to smack our kids maybe two or three times in their life. And it's only if it's a critical time where someone could be injured, you know, that's where we've had to kind of use it to snap them out of it and really reinforce that if you do that again, someone's going to get really, really hurt or, you know, even worse. So most of the time you can discipline through words, you can discipline through actions. You don't have to choose violence to discipline. And I'm a true believer that, you know, at the end of the day, kids just want to feel loved. We all just want to feel loved and accepted and that we are enough. You know, how often do parents and adults these days feel like they're not enough? Well, imagine if we could parent better so that our kids always felt like they were enough. And you know, just because they're different, because I'm sure that each of your boys is different. And what worked for your first son, Hunter, probably didn't work for your second and third sons, especially your third one, Leo, who's a little bit more, you know, creative and out there and vivacious, you know. So it's okay to have to readjust the sails, you know, with each child. And, you know, and I think that's where, you know, going one-on-one with each of them is really critical as well. You know, so they get that one-on-one alone time with you where you just have like a, in your case, like a mum and Hunter day, or I'd have like a mum and Archer day and then a mum and Summer day, you know? So yeah, I love that you raised that, Vicky. And if you do smack your kids and you're listening to this, like that's, and that works for you, then awesome. You go for it. Like, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying it's different. And from someone that was smacked growing up, I wish that I wasn't. But we broke a lot of wooden spoons with our hands. We got a lot of, you know, straps to the bottom. It wasn't fun. But at the time, you know, that's what my parents knew. That's how they decided to parent. And I turned out okay. Well, I think I turned out okay. Who knows? Anyway, we're moving on. So the next question, Vicky, is, have you had any embarrassing moments as a mum where you've either done the embarrassing or the kids have embarrassed you?
Probably one of the embarrassing things was when I dragged my child out of the shopping mall. Same deal. I was like, you're not going to cry and get a toy. So we're waltzing out the store with this kid going, and I was like, you know, I'm not giving in to getting back in the car. And we went back in another time when he was happier. But that was really embarrassing because I had lots of people looking at me. It wasn't just a quiet mall. There was like, I had one lady shaking her head at me because I was like, she's probably thinking, what is this woman doing with this kid? I probably had about 15 eyeballs on me that day with this screeching child. Another time I gave my son a little trike and not even thinking, I was taking him down the street with it. And it was so busy and he went flying down the hill on this trike, so I had to chase him down this busy street, and this lady stopped him at the road, and I was like, thank you so much, and I was like, come on. But that was scary and embarrassing as well. I'm running down the road looking like a crazy lady chasing a little kid on a trike, so that never came into town again, that bike. But yeah, that's not really so much embarrassing as more fearful for their lives.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I get the supermarket one as well. And I'm sure all the mums that are listening to the podcast have been there where, you know, they've reacted in public how they would probably more react when they're at home alone behind closed doors. And people have seen it. And when you do, you feel the eyeballs on you. We had one mum on our podcast that said when her child was throwing that, you know, screaming tantrum for the toy in the shop, she just got down on the floor and did exactly the same thing that he was doing. So she actually mimicked the behavior, and that stopped it, you know, soon after. So there's all different ways to handle that. But like, that's where online shopping can come in very, very handy. You know, I very rarely take my kids to the supermarket anymore. Not that they're that annoying, but it's just, you know, I don't want to have to be in that situation where I have to go, no, you're not getting that. No, stop asking, you know, no. And you've got to turn into that naggy mum. So now I just do my shopping when they're at school or I get it delivered. And then that avoids it. When they're not at the shop, they don't even think about spending money or, you know, that kind of stuff. So I love that you brought that one up. And yeah, I'm sure we've all been there where we've been absolutely fearful of, you know, something happening to our kids and we've acted like a crazy person. I know I definitely have many times. So what about, you know, do you have a philosophy around, parenting? Do you have like anything that you kind of live by when it comes to being a mum?
Yeah, I just, I really believe that I will do what I do, not what I say. So each time I'm having a spinach juice now or something, I know that they're watching that. So I'm very cautious that what I do now is being watched by me. So they'll do what I do, not what I say. So I live by that now.
I love that because it's all about being the example, isn't it? And it holds you to a higher standard now. Because you got these, you know, three sets of eyes watching your every move. Yeah, so I love that. It's about, they call that more conscious parenting, you know, and I think it's so good when you get to that place because you're like, okay, every decision that I make, everything that I put in my body, they're watching that and they're going to do the same thing. So, yeah, when it comes to health, I think it's a very awesome philosophy. And it's not just health, it's like your daily habits, how you show up in the world. You know, what are your daily rituals? How do you, you know, interact with people? Or, you know, how do you take care of yourself as well? I see a lot of mums out there put everybody else in front of them, their own self-love and their own self-needs. And then we get to that stage of entitlement. You know, people feel entitled. Whereas if we go, you know what, this is actually mum's time right now because I need to practice my self-love, you're giving them a clear message that you're worthy. And then they can go and follow that as well. You know what, mum, leave me alone at the moment. This is my self-love time. And then you can create that space for them when they need it as well. So you're giving so many awesome lessons today, Vicky. I absolutely love it. Okay, so the next one, what would you tell your younger self? You know, go back to that 21, 22-year-old brand new mom. Knowing what you know now, Vicky, what would you tell yourself back then?
Yeah, so looking at myself back then, there was, I raised probably my first one through shame. So I would go back to my 21-year-old self and I would explain to her that shame is external, that that's just worrying about what other people think of you. And I would show her how she can be this awesome mum and not have a worry in the world of what other people think. So, I would really show her how to just enjoy the moment without the thoughts of other people in her head.
Oh my gosh, how freeing would that be at a young age? I love that because shame, so many women out there carry shame all through their life and it does, it holds us back. And You know, I've got a talk, I think you've heard it before, I talk about going from shame to shine. And if we can release the past, it then creates new energy for, you know, our future self. So we've got to deal with whatever it is in the past, whatever we're carrying that shame was. And that fear of judgment is one of the six human fears that everybody has. So I don't know where it came from. Nobody knows where it came from and where this need to be better than the Joneses came from and this need to compete with each other. But if you're a mum out there, just honestly, just stay in your lane, you know, just stay focused on you and your family and what you want to create in life. And don't worry about what other people are thinking. It is so freeing when you get to that, I'm going to call it like a effort moment, you know, F-U-C-K, effort moment, when you just like, you know what, I'm sick of living like this. I'm sick of living in this fear, in this shame. Screw it. I'm just going to do what I want to do because that's what I want to do and not worry about what people are going to say, think or do, because at the end of the day, we don't have any control over that anyway. So refreshing. And when you said that, Vic, you actually got goosebumps. So that actually means that it's true. You're standing in your truth today, which is amazing, which I expect nothing less from you anyway. Awesome. So what's one thing that you reckon you've nailed as a mum? Like, what's that one thing that you're like, yeah, Vicky, I nailed that?
I reckon I've nailed patience as a mum.
I agree.
Just the amount of times it takes patience in a family of five and then two dogs and the dogs are puppy as well and the other one's just neurotic. so patience, because the moment you pick them up from school and then they come out of school tired and hungry and you're like, yeah, I think patience I have nailed.
Yeah, I second that because you are one of the most patient people that I've ever met. And yeah, I wish I could grab some. I wish you could bottle it up and give me some because that's definitely something that I've had to work on. And I don't have a lot of patience. But yeah, it's definitely an excellent virtue and, you know, an incredible quality and trait to pass down onto those boys as well. So well done, girlfriend, on nailing that one. Last question. What are three mum hacks or three pieces of advice that you would love to pass on to our fellow mums out there?
Okay, so if you've got school children, I would say that from 3 to 7 p.m. is fight time, fun time, food time. It's kiddo time. So from 3 to 7, it's after school and it's their time to talk to you in the kitchen while they're hanging out and then they have to tell you about what happened at school. So I would just block out that time for them and let them express themselves to you. So that's what I do for them 3 hours or 4 hours. Something that I've watched my husband do really well is if the children want something, so say they want like Transformers or a pretty cool toy, they have to earn it. So we have them out there digging holes for trees. They were doing the garden and they were training the dogs where to go to the toilet. So they were toilet training the dogs and they were cleaning up this acreage with us. So they had to earn it. And then they did earn it, so then they ordered it online and then they had to wait for it to come. And so that whole thing about them earning it is really, really powerful to watch my husband and the way that he does it in a negotiation with the kids. So I love that. And just what I mentioned before, kids will do what I do, not what I say. So in every area of my life. So when my mum was raising us, every Friday I would see her go and she would take a pot of soup to the homeless center and she would feed the homeless people every Friday night. So she showed me how to love. So when that was happening here on the Gold Coast and Fee was like, I've got the homeless center here, I did what I was shown. So my mum showed me how to feed the homeless. So then because I saw that as a child growing up, when Fee was doing that, it was like, I'm there. So then we're making them shakes and giving the homeless people this amazing food. So I was doing what I saw my mum do. So in every area of life, my kids see me reading a book, they'll end up reading books. And yeah.
I love that, honey. Three great tips then. I want to go back to the second one you mentioned, which is that, getting the kids to earn something. I think they're going to enjoy it so much more when they've actually earned it. And it's that whole thing of, I don't know what it was like when you grew up, but if we asked for something growing up, we kind of got a response like, we can't afford it. What do you think I'm made of? Money? So we had this like broke mentality. We can't have that because we're broke, basically. So, that's a way more empowering way to go, you know what? Yes, you can have it, but you're actually going to have to do something to earn it. And we do the same in our household as well. Nothing, and you don't want them to waste their money on things that are not full of meaning for them as well. It's not going to bring them joy, if you know what I mean. So I love that. And that
last doing a deal as well.
Yep, doing a deal.
So, what deal are you going to do? And the kids are going, yeah, can we do a deal?
It's so good. It's so good because I think a lot of kids out there, we cave as a parent. We cave. They get us in that weak moment where we're just like, oh, fine, just get it, and we just want to get out of the shop and we're not ready for the battle. But this is a much, much more fun and educational way, I guess, of, getting them to earn something that they really, really want. I know that for us, our daughter wants a hoverboard and we actually worked backwards with her how much she would need to save between, the time she said she wanted it to the end of the year. And she worked out that the $8 a week that she earns was not going to be enough to get her there. So then we said, okay, you're going to have to start a hoverboard fund and you need to get resourceful. So what are some other ways that you can create income, and who are some other people that might pour into you at the end of the year around Christmas? And instead of getting you a gift, maybe they'll give you money instead of, a present this year. So you can put it towards something that you really want, which is the hoverboard. So, I think, getting them to think a little bit differently. Another friend of mine, her daughter wanted a pair of rollerblades. And so she said, okay, we'll come up some ways of making money so that you can buy them yourself. And so she started making Christmas cards and she sold the Christmas cards at $4 each. And last week she bought her rollerblades. She went to the shop and bought them. And now she's going to appreciate those rollerblades so much more because she's earned them, she's worked hard to do that. And I think that's an incredible life skill to teach these kids, that if you want something, it's not a matter of, no, you can't have it. It's a matter of how can you make that happen, and I love those tips, Vicky.
Yeah, awesome.
All righty. Is there anything else you want to add?
Oh, just for the mamas listening to this, let them know they're awesome. And this is quality investment of their time.
Absolutely. And where can people find you, honey? Like if people want more empowerment or coaching around that, or they just want to hang out with you on social media, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. So I've called myself Victory because that's what my nickname was when I was little. So it's Victory Ann Lord. It's very short and sweet. And I'll be right on Instagram.
Awesome, honey. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us at the Fearless Mums Club podcast today. It's been an absolute delight having you on. Can't wait to get this recording out so our listeners can hear. And we will be back on the next podcast next week. So we will see you then. Thanks, Vicky.
Thank you. Bye.